the Patent and Trademark Office has been going without a confirmed director for a year and a half. Senator Orrin Hatch has urged President Obama to nominate somebody already. He thinks the vacancy hampers the agency's ability to influence policy and make long-term plans. Joining us with some perspective is the former PTO director, Todd Dickinson. He's now executive director of the American Intellectual Property Law Association. Todd, good morning.
Good morning.
All right. So Senator Hatch has called the lack of a confirmed leader at PTO untenable. Is he correct in that?
Well, I think not having a head of an agency like the PTO for a long period of time, over time, starts to really affect the mission of the agency in a lot of ways, and not all of them are good.
It seems as if the PTO was kind of on a tear there for a while, some momentum. There was a law in 2011 overhauling the approach to patents and so forth, and they were opening new offices. Dave Kapos was, I think, a real go-getter. So why would they let this stall for so long?
Well, I don't know the answer to that. I think you'd have to ask the administration about it, but it does have an effect. The agency is a great place to work. The agency's employees and management, among other things, have been rated the number one place to work in the federal government in their sector. On the other hand, if you don't have a director, you don't have a leader for a long period of time, they can't make long-term plans, they can't deal with policy issues. We're here at an international forum where kind of international administrative work that goes on to make sure everybody can, all the offices of the world can work together. Not having a leader affects that not in a negative way. And so we need to, we're in the same place at the American IP Law Association. We've urged the administration to fill this position on a permanent basis as well.
Now, the America Invents Act had many, many provisions, and that passed in 2011. Do we get a sense of how much the agency has implemented of that and how much they have to do yet?
Well, they went through, as you may know, a rather extensive rulemaking process that took some time. Because in particular the effect on what's called post-grant review was rather dramatic, the way it implemented changes, the agency has taken some time to get that up and running. They've needed to hire a very significant number of new administrative patent judges. They've needed to put a new, a new rule package in place to govern those post-grant procedures. And the first of the cases that are coming through that system are now just coming off the line, and we're seeing the effect of it fairly quickly now.
So they have to write rules, and then they have to interpret the rules and make them operational. Michelle Lee, by all accounts, is no slouch, but she's not confirmed. So how far can she go in refining all of that process?
Well, all those rules are in place now, and we're seeing the effect of them. I think Deputy Director Lee is doing a very, very good job. We know her, and we're proud of the way she's doing it, but you're still operating with one arm tied behind your back to some degree when you don't have a confirmed head in place. As the number of these cases, for example, that are filed in this post-grant procedures is far outstripping the number that was originally planned. And so at some point, there's going to be an even greater challenge in terms of making sure the agencies in that regard able to meet the challenge, frankly, that the AIA has set down. These have to be done within 1 year, many of them, most of them. And we're coming up on that year now, so we'll be able to see pretty quickly how the agency is able to deal with it.
So what I'm reading between the lines is there is the danger of a backlog forming.
Well, my understanding is that the backlog on the patent examination side is going to start to come down. I think former Director Kapos and former Deputy Director Ray put in place with the permanent team a number of procedures, and also the fact that if the Senate passes the CJS appropriation bill, which is before them now, the House has already passed it, the PTO will be back in the place they should be, which is to be able to keep all of the fee revenue. I think they're the only fully fee-funded agency in the federal government. If they can keep that fee revenue at the level that they're being appropriated, then I think you're going to see a fairly significant drop in pendency. And the agency then can turn its attention to a number of other issues that, unfortunately, sequestration hit them pretty hard And we'll see what happens with those funds made available.
So what are the major issues, would you say, facing PTO besides the 600 and some thousand backlog of primary patent applications?
Well, the backlog is always an issue, both at the examination level and now in this post-grant process is where they get reviewed after they have issued in certain circumstances. But if those come down, as I hope they do, the agency can turn its attention to longer-term issues that were affected by sequestration. For example, they have IT systems which are drastically in need, I guess you'd say, of updating, and we're hopeful that they'll be able to go back to that. They had a plan in place. Sequestration caused that to basically put on hold. The contractors and others who were ready to go to help with the updates for that had to be rehired and re-brought back or recontracted, that has stalled things. So we'll see what happens now that the appropriations hopefully will be back in place. But not to have a full-time director at a time when you have those kind of opportunities in particular is not optimal at all. And we're hoping that the White House will be able to fill that job pretty soon.
We're speaking with Todd Dickinson. He's executive director of the American Intellectual Property Law Association and former Undersecretary of Commerce for Intellectual Property. And I understand you're calling us from some distance at a conference that's concerning all of the international issues.
I'm actually in Busan, South Korea. It's the second largest city in South Korea. And the five largest patent offices of the world work together and routinely meet once a year, the heads of the offices, to work on issues of mutual interest, shall we say. But most importantly, they work on trying to get the offices' systems to work together so that the examiners and the inventors and applicants have access, for example, to the most what we call prior art, the greatest access to prior art that we can possibly have worldwide, the ultimate goal of which is to make sure that we have the highest quality patents that issue in the world. And that's one of the great things that we endeavor to do through what's called the IP5, and they spent the last 3 days here in Korea working very hard to try to put those systems in place. If we can get it in place, then we can really improve, I think, the quality of the work that all the world's offices do, but certainly the USPTO does. That's the key. Not only is pendency important, it is, but quality, and making sure the quality of the work product that the office puts out is as high as possible is the goal.
And, of course, the international aspect was part of the AIA. There was some harmonizing going on between how the United States does it and how other countries do it. And also there's been ongoing concerns about theft of intellectual property internationally. And so given the fact that there is no permanent leader for all this time, director of the USPTO, how does the rest of the world see this?
Well, there's the way that they see it publicly, and then there's the way that when they're
after hours, they tell you
having a drink in the lounge, it may be a little different. I think that it's important to make sure that we are at full strength at the PTO, both in terms of the finances the office needs and in terms of the leadership that it has. As I say, Deputy Director Lee, Commissioner Peggy Focorino, the team that's here is doing a great job. But I think the other directors in the world's offices understand that the real commitments have to be made over time with a permanent director. And that's probably the number one question I get asked, frankly, during the coffee breaks or in the hallways is when will there be a permanent director at the PTO?
I imagine like a country like China that says you make such a fuss over intellectual property and yet you don't even bother to fill the most important intellectual property slot in the government.
Tim, I think that's kind of a strong statement. I think I think the international environment's a lot more complex than that. That might be something that some cynics think somewhat. But China itself has just let me say it a different way. Of the five offices, three of them have brand new heads of office, and Deputy Director Lee is representing the United States here. That kind of change globally is what it is, and it can be positive, but it needs to make sure, and we in the United States need to make sure that we have our people in place as these new directors come in. There's a new Chinese a commissioner, for example, that's the first one in 5 years, and we need to make sure we're keeping up.
And just to get back to more down-to-earth operational issues here in the United States, the PTO is opening. They've opened a couple of satellite offices. I think there were plans for more. Why do they need those in the age where everything's going virtual?
Let me talk about the second part first. That's actually one of the great success stories of the PTO. I think one of the key reasons why they are number one in terms of employee satisfaction is because the agency has traditionally been a leader in terms of telework. I think in the patent side, something like 50% of employees that are eligible for telework are able to. And so the telework program has been a huge success. That said, having satellite offices across the country, there are four of them, one in basically in each time zone, allows for the users of the office, the stakeholders, much greater access to the office itself. And frankly, it allows the office a greater latitude to hire the pool of potential employees, both in judges for the board or new examiners or whatever. It expanded significantly if you are able to guarantee that people can stay near their homes or near their families and not have to move back to Washington. I think that's all for the best. They just opened, for example, a new office in Silicon Valley in San Jose. There's a huge pool of potential high caliber workers there that we can tap into now by using the satellite offices. The next one is in Denver. And there's a ribbon-cutting ceremony coming up at the end of June, and we're looking forward to that.
All right. Speaking to us from Busan, South Korea, Todd Dickinson is the former Undersecretary of Commerce for Intellectual Property and Director of the Patent and Trademark Office. He is now the Executive Director of the American Intellectual Property Law Association. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Happy to do it, and let's hope we get this appointment done.